The bag is packed with the sticks, the drinks are cold, and the scorecards ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
On the Tee, he's Stephen Watson, I'm Gabe Neitzel, and we're just going to dive right into this because, first of all, I need to make it perfectly clear. We're both very big fans of Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
We love Rory McIlroy. And the problem with him, again, not only we spent a lot of time talking about this last week, not only the problem with him missing and losing the U.S. Open the way he did, but now people can say things like you did to me via texts. And I want to make sure I get the verbiage right here. So I want to make sure I pull up exactly what you sent me here as we were trying to figure this out. You called it, I had a Rory moment the other day. I've heard other people say pulling a Rory. I forget who I was playing with just a couple of days ago, but somebody made mention of Rory's ruined it for us all. If he's missing that, none of us are getting three-footers now. So this has become a part of the lexicon, a part of golf, of
this is
pulling
part of Rory's
a Rory.
Legacy.
Yes, it's unfortunate because the guy's a really good player, and now him missing a three-footer is part of his legacy.
I wish it was 3 feet, Gabe. That's really what it comes down to.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So, first of all, it's crazy that Rory is a name, but
yep.
It's also now an adjective and a verb. And that's where we are in this game of
golf. I Roried it.
I was playing in a match.
Okay.
And I won't go into too much detail, but I missed a putt about 2 feet.
They didn't give it to you?
No.
Real tight
match? No, I would never have expected it. We were in a tight match about the 14th, 15th hole of the match. We were two down at that point. So if I make that, then all of a sudden we stay two down with three to play. If I miss it, we're dormy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give that to somebody. I would never expect somebody
to give that to me. I need more context because a 2 foot, like a straight 2 footer up the hill, and maybe I'm too generous, but like, hey, just pick it up and let's go on. Like, if it's down, if you're playing it where I think, if you're playing at Wisconsin Club, like, and you, there are some downhill putts there where, you know, okay,
yep.
I got to make you make that 2 footer. So are we talking little side hill, downhill, like straight up the hill? What kind of putt are we talking about?
We're talking about a downhill first putt that I put about 2 feet, pro miss.
Yeah.
You know, beyond the hole, felt good about
sure.
it. You know, just a quick putt coming downhill. If you're familiar with the golf course, on number 6, which ended up being one of our last holes because we played off the back to
okay.
start the match. Whole different story there. But 6 was, I was at the back of the green, put it, yeah, about 2 feet beyond.
And so you're putting back up the hill.
I make that putt 9.7 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you're selling yourself short, but it's 9.99 times out of 10.
Coming up the hill, no break, just don't leave the cup. And what do? Just drag the putter face. It wasn't even close. I didn't even hit the cup. This is how bad of a brain fart Rory moment I truly had.
Well, okay, so let's break this down. I appreciate your vulnerability.
Yeah, I'm vulnerable. I'm upset.
Like,
this is eating at me. I did not sleep well. I played good golf all day. It was one of those rounds, though, where you make a bunch of pars, and if you're playing a match, you need to make birdies. I was steady out there, but in that moment, despite how well I might have played up until that point, that putt will be the defining moment of that match.
So, first of all, how long ago was this?
This was less than a week ago.
Okay.
Last Thursday.
So, less than a week ago. So less than a week. So it's still eating you at you now, you know, 4 or 5 days later at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Probably the rest of this golf season.
So two-man, like this club match, just a match for money.
Red Coat match is
okay.
Partner event.
We've talked about the Red Coat here.
Play with my buddy Ryan. We
yep.
have won this event in the past, so we were excited to team up again and try and take down the competition. We lost in the first round.
Yeah, well, you can join me in losing the first
round. Felt a lot like the Milwaukee Bucks losing on an 8-1 seed. Not because our competition was an 8, but just we were so excited. We had so much hope. And
so in your mind, okay, you just missed the putt that could have potentially won you the hole.
Yep.
Now you've just got this little simple 2-footer back up the hill. Like, just a lack of concentration.
No,
like
too much concentration.
You were already moved on to the next hole.
Not at all. I actually think I gave it too much credit. I stood over the ball for too long. If I walked up to that ball,
yeah,
and before the guy even putt before me, I just said, let me just finish this.
Yeah.
And I knock it in confidently, back of the cup, maybe even right center because it's moving left up the hill. Sure. It never needed to leave the cup. But I stood. I stared. I replayed every possible break that this putt could have.
Yeah.
Instead of just trusting my gut of not leaving the hole. I stood over it. And the most common mistake on missing short putts is lifting your head, which lifts your chest,
yep,
and pulls your hands. It's exactly what I did. I mean, it was putting 101. I've stood over those putts so many times in my golf career. I have a putting green at home that I practice on just for those moments to keep my chest over the ball. And I just straight up had a brain fart and pulled the ball left in a non-competitive 2-foot putt.
So, 2-footer.
Yeah, I
roughly. Look, I'm just now. I want to go over just basic kind of your thought process about that, because you said, "Oh, I should have just gone and said, hey, let me finish." So, typically, if you're playing a match with your buddies, like I got to imagine, if I'm playing with you, I'm just giving you that putt, right?
Depends where we're at in the match. I like ball and hole. I really
sure.
do in these types of events.
So
I'm not upset at all that they made me putt it.
So I am never going to be upset if somebody makes me putt something out. However, if I think it's close enough where maybe you should give this to me, I'm always going to finish out first. Because I don't know if you just don't want to give it to me because you're looking for some competitive advantage of, okay, maybe, no, I am going to let you know, I ain't missing this. I'm going to put it in, and now you got to deal with whatever because I'm done with the hole.
And then I'm going to stare into your soul for not giving me the putt.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm just going to let you know, hey, I'm going to make, so why did you decide to mark versus finishing out?
Because I made it out to be a bigger putt, and I thought the smart thing was to, oh, let's just take your time. Let's not mess this up.
Well, but you can still take your time. You can say, hey, let
totally.
Me finish,
yeah,
put the mark on if you have an alignment aid. If, you know, if I have an alignment aid that on a short putt like that, I would probably at least use just to kind of calm yourself down and then calmly tap it in.
Hindsight 2020.
Yeah.
One of those situations where I've learned from it to just go up, trust your gut, don't leave the hole, and knock it in. And in that moment, I thought I was doing the right thing by saying, slow down. Let's go through your process. Let's mark it. Let's step back. Let's let these guys finish out, see what this putt means.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up meaning everything. And, you know, that mentally always weighs on somebody. If you're a human being on a golf course and you watch whether it be your partner miss a short putt right in front of you, or you watch them open the door and you know you have an opportunity to slam, or them make a big putt and realize, like, wow, there's a lot riding on this 2-footer. 2-footer feels like 20. And that's what, in that moment, that's what it felt like. Even though it was uphill, I took the break out of it by being below the hole. And it was just simply like one of those careless putts that just came at the wrong time.
Again, and maybe this is why I'm a golf sicko, but like I've honestly thought a lot about, okay, if I'm playing a match, I leave a ball here. Like, I've thought about situations like this, which is why I always prefer to finish out. Because, you know, when I can't have any pressure on me, my ball's in the hole. If I'm done with the hole and you still have to putt, I have no pressure. All of it's on you if there's any pressure to be had. So again, I think if people are out there and you have matches that you're playing, especially if it's a little bit more of a competitive match and it's not just against your buddies, if it's at, you know, your local muni and you have some sort of match play bracket going on there, or if you're at your club in the different match play brackets that they have there, like, again, these are things that I've thought about of, hey, I'm just going to finish out because you, and I've told you this before, it makes you uncomfortable, but you are seriously, like, 6 feet and in, the best putter I think I've played with. And Like,
that's
you just need to have.
I don't know if that's true, but I'll.
I mean, who's.
I'll,
okay,
I'll
we can. I guess we can debate that offline. We don't need to, like, throw up other names of people who are great putters. Although, my guy at X Golf American Family Field, Andy Barrett, I'd love to see you guys have a putting competition because it seems like he makes every 6-footer that matters, especially when there's money on the line, but I digress. But you're a good enough putter where, yes, you just step up and do it. Like, you've done it enough times, you don't need to be thinking and overthinking about certain situations. And I understand the need, or need's too strong of a word, but the want of, okay, let's just see what this means, right? Like, I understand that, but
yeah,
also...
That wasn't my thinking. My thinking was, let's not speed up your process. That was my thinking of just mark your ball, go through your routine, because I do. I have a putting routine.
Yeah.
If you ever watch me or play golf with me, I line myself up with my hips. So I hold my left arm on my hips mm-hmm. to create my alignment for myself. And then it's one practice putt and it's putt every single time. If you ever play golf with me, that's how. And that's like something that I've consciously worked on with my putting, is to create a process for myself. And I, in the moment, I was like, let's just go through your process. Now knowing that I didn't even give it a competitive putt, I'm thinking to myself, why? Just go confidently stroke.
Are you going to reevaluate? Like, how you would approach that in the future?
A short one like that, yeah. I think I just need to go
again,
up and
I think
hit it. Yeah.
I think you get outside of 2 feet. Like, you get to that 3-foot range.
Or
four
one that's,
you know,
yeah, yeah, one that's breaking or
oh,
coming
yeah,
down
exactly.
a hill
like,
and has a little bit of movement to it for sure. But
this, a relatively
this was one,
straight up the hill.
You know, one of my buddies who I golf with a fair amount is a big advocate of just don't let the ball leave the cup unless you are 100% positive you need to be outside the cup. Go strong and firm at it.
Mm-hmm.
You can play in the centers, left, right, center. Don't ever leave that mark when you're inside of 3 feet. And
I mean, that's the Tiger Woods mentality.
I could hear him screaming at me when I just ripped it left. And I ripped it left not because I was trying to play it left. I just – it was truly a yips putt. Like,
oh,
the hands
– whoa, no.
And the head were just not in the right place.
You actually said that word? You said the wild.
I'm
words?
Not concerned about yips there.
Okay.
Now, chipping on the other.
Well, that's been an ongoing process.
Yeah. But no, it stinks. Everybody's lived it. You hate to have it happen in those competitive moments.
Yeah.
When you feel like, you know, you're trying to lift your teammate up and continue and extend a match, and you just feel it all just combust in that moment. There's no worse feeling. And that's truly why I texted you. I Rory'd that putt, or I had a Rory moment, because
yeah.
that's the closest I probably ever felt to Rory McIlroy on a golf course, was four guys staring at me, knowing the magnitude of that putt. I didn't have hundreds of thousands and millions of people watching me.
With millions of dollars on the line.
It was a hiccup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that it's going to take some time to get over, but I don't think it's going to impact my golf game. It just, you never like to see a match end like that.
So you mentioned... it was a team event. I'm going to ask you a question about how you feel about team uniforms. We're going to do that. Coming up next, here on The Tee, which is presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trip. Spots are filling up fast, and we're going to be closing it very soon. So it's your last opportunity in these next couple of weeks. Text GOLF, G-O-L-F, if you want to go to Scotland with us. That's right, Scotland. Play with myself, Steven, Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips, and a bunch of other fans that are going to enjoy some of the best golf courses, not just in Scotland, but in the world. Text 800-990-3776 and the word golf. There you get to see the entire itinerary, see all the great things and places that Jason has booked for us. You can see the cost, make your down payment, do all those things just by texting golf to 800-990-3776, as On the Tee is presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. So this actually happened to me a couple of weeks ago, Stephen, and we talked about it privately when it happened, but we had a lot of things going on in the show. U.S. Open leading into it, obviously, I mean, one of the more exciting U.S. Opens, if not most exciting majors of the last 5 years, with the way things finished up at Pinehurst. But I played in one of my first events as a member of the Wisconsin Club. And I was excited for it.
The Wisconsin Country Club.
Oh, excuse me. Wisconsin Country Club.
Because that name is great. Go on.
One of our friends out there that you introduced me to asked me to play in the member with him a couple of weeks ago. And it was actually the weekend of the U.S. Open. And it was a Friday-Saturday event. Looking forward to it. Wasn't quite sure what the format was. Either was he. He had never played an event before. We're looking forward to it, whatever. On, like, Tuesday, he texts me, "Hey, how do you feel? Like, oh, I'm probably too late for this, but, man, we should have, you know, maybe we should have gotten team shirts or something." So I ask you, are you, when you're playing in an event like you were just describing, or, you know, any, I mean, there's plenty of WSGA events out there, whether it's the Net Partners, whether it's the two-man scramble, lots of a partner events that you can sign up for. When you're in an event like that, are you pro team uniform or anti team uniform?
In an open event with people who I might not know, it's a hard no. If it's eight guys who I'm playing with and we're doing a Ryder Cup, hell yeah. When I was in high school, we used to drink with Legends of the Hidden Temple shirts on. That was our drinking game.
Okay.
Maybe I was drinking a little early. Sorry.
Statute of limitations expired on that one.
No, but that's what we used to do because that was fun, right? As high school, dumb high school kids, we would wear, I was a Green Monkey, Legends of the Hidden Temple, along with my beer pong partner at the time. That extended through our college days. We kept the teams together. That has nothing to do with golf tournaments, but I just wanted to tell you, when I'm with my friends and we're all together, I'm all for it. Have a little bit of fun.
Or like, but we've played in the Writers' Cup that we've talked about. A Wisconsin media takes on the Illinois media. And they always, I mean, we're not all wearing the same shirts, but they, and it's not really a requirement, but they say, hey, encourage Wisconsin to wear red, Illinois to wear blue. So, yeah, okay, I'll throw on a red shirt.
So here's what I would say. I'm out on team uniforms.
Okay.
If you're wearing a uniform, there are two options.
Okay.
There's nothing in between.
Yep.
You better win, or you better come in dead last and have a lot of fun doing so. That's how I feel about team uniforms. But I know why you brought up this topic, Gabe.
Yeah.
And I feel like you did not give yourself credit for exactly the uniform you wore with our buddy Kyle.
I mean, we might as well have finished dead last. As has been documented on this program, I have been playing some pretty bad golf. I think we might be heading in the right direction now, but that remains to be seen.
So you've hit the qualifier of what I'm saying with team uniforms.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, again, hopefully we're trending in the right direction. But I told – so when our friend Kyle had texted me, you know, it seemed like he wanted to wear a team uniform. I, like you, again, this is my first event, and I've gotten to know some members out at Wisconsin Country Club, not a ton of the members, but, you know, enough people where I'm friendly, and I'm having a great time, and I love the membership that I've met so far. But obviously, there are going to be a bunch of people that I have no idea who are in this event. So I told him, hey, if we're going to go team uniform, there's only one thing that I would do, and there's no way we can find this on time. But if this was a conversation we had a couple weeks ago, maybe we would have been able to pull this off.
And so what did you wear?
And that's 1999 Ryder Cup shirts. If you're unfamiliar with the 1999 Ryder Cup and the battle at Brookline, just go ahead and Google it, and you'll see quite possibly the worst polos you've ever seen in your life. They're hideous.
Here's what I'll say about those polos, though. To this day, the most talked about polos.
Oh, without a doubt.
They are hideous. But when I saw the picture of you guys wearing it,
I can share the picture on social media here after the show.
I said, that I can get behind. I can't do the like matching blue Peter Millar, like we're going to wear the exact same outfit for a golf outing or a member. But if you're going to lean into it, I appreciate that you guys lean that hard.
Yeah, it's like to me, and again, like take this from the source, right? Like I have a bunch of ridiculous pants.
Ridiculous
right?
is an understatement.
So like if you're going to do it, you got to go all the way. Like I don't want to like dip my toe in the water. No, you're diving into the deep end. Like, there's only one way to do this. And we ended up doing it that way. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for us. As I mentioned, we played poorly. But I just, you know, and we went away from team uniform because day one didn't go well. Went away from team uniform. Day two went worse for me.
Well, why would you ever, so you didn't go all in?
Well, I'm not going to wear the same shirt back-to-back days.
Yeah, nothing to lose at that point.
Well, I mean, other than I got to sit in the same stinky shirt for the second day in a row.
They invented laundry.
Okay. Are you familiar with how these events work?
Am I familiar with the fact that you may have had 100 cocktails and forgot to do laundry?
It's not really forgetting to do laundry. Like, by the time you get home, like, you're not throwing laundry in. You got to be there the next morning to play.
Here's the question I have for you.
Okay.
If you were going to run back with day two's outfit, and you could choose what day two's outfit would be, what would it have been?
No, because we kind of briefly talked about it, you know. We just kind of decided, hey, you know, we're gonna be ourselves. So I went with, I have Ryder Cup pants, Ryder Cup 2020 pants. So that's what I went with. I'm like, hey, this is what I'm going to be comfortable in. Partner went with whatever he was going to be comfortable in. So we weren't really, there was no matching, you know, in day two.
I think that was your problem.
Is that we didn't match in day two?
You didn't lean all the way.
Oh, okay.
You went like 90. I needed the final 10.
We did. I mean, but that's the problem with two-day events, and especially when you're deciding, hey, we're gonna need team uniforms maybe for both days here. Maybe a lack of planning on our end. But you've got the member coming up here. Your dad comes in. Is that a conversation you have with your dad? Like, hey, let's have the same hat. Let's have the same shirts. Nothing like that?
No. I can't even fake it. It's not even a thought that crosses my mind, being like, hey, Dad, let's wear the same thing. I know there are plenty of people who do that.
Oh, 100%.
I went to the member guest last year, and a lot of the groups vary into their matching outfits. It's not for me, but if it makes you play better, I'm all about a look good, feel good, play good type of mentality. So I'm gonna wear my Sunday best on the golf course for a big event,
okay,
but it's likely not going to be matching my pops. But see, now I'm kind of curious about...
Well, so now part of me wants to, next golf season, team up in an event with you and get you a pair of loudmouth golf pants. That's what I want to do.
You know, I love golf pants.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I know you and I have similar ideas of more comfortable playing in pants versus shorts.
I will wear said pants with you in Scotland.
Okay. All right. Now we're on to something here. We're going to Scotland in October. Again, text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776 if you'd like to join us. We're going to try to convince Steven.
I have two rules, though.
Okay, two rules.
With the pants.
Yep.
Can't wear them on the old course.
That's fair.
And I don't want to wear them at Carnoustie.
No, that's fair. We can...
Those are the two courses that I want to be, locked in, got my outfits picked... Wearing the outfits, feeling good, because I want to play really well those
100%. I've already got the course picked out for us. We're going to match at the Castle course. Because the Castle course... So what I love about the Castle course, maybe some people are going to dislike. From my understanding, not everybody loves the Castle course. There's some strange... Like, you're going up and down the hill. There's some funky bounces that can happen out at the Castle course. I enjoyed it when I played it a couple of years ago when I went out there. But it's not... When you think traditional links golf, this is probably not traditional links golf. There's a lot more kind of undulation, I would say, that's happening out there.
I'm all for it. Kind of like a little clown's mouthy.
Yeah, a little bit. But again, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're not taking yourself too seriously, you're going to enjoy it. So that's the place. Castle course, when we're out there, that's when we're wearing
them. And I'm putting the pressure on you. I don't want to see them until the morning of.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm going to tell you my size.
Yep.
You tell me what shirt color, maybe, to match it if you want to go full match.
Well, so that's the beauty of the loudmouth golf pants are, there's so many colors. You pick one shirt, you're going to be able to, like, somewhat put
it's like
pull
Picasso.
It together.
Yeah, anything works with it.
Exactly.
There you go, Gabe. You design it, I'll wear it for Castle course.
I'm excited for it. You should be excited for it as well. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. You know how much we love golf here on the tee. Of course, it's a golf show. We love golf. But you also know that we like baseball. Steven, you can catch him on Bally Sports Wisconsin. I'm always talking about baseball as well. Combine both of those loves at X-Golf and American Family Field. XGolfAmFamField.com is the website. But also new this year, you can combine sim time and game tickets on game days. Just go to the Brewers single game ticket website, then enjoy all the great amenities that they have inside X-Golf and American Family Field. Plus, let's be honest, especially on a day like today, sitting in air conditioning while watching the game, while being at the game, doesn't sound terrible, and it's great up there at X-Golf and American Family Field. Find out more, xgolfamfamfield.com. We also need caller number four. Caller four right now, 800-990-3776, because Summerfest is going on. And Summerfest, you're going to want to go this weekend, next weekend. You can get a four-pack of tickets to Summerfest on us here at ESPN Milwaukee right now. 800-990-3776. Caller 4 wins four tickets coming up to Summerfest.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
I went to a train. We put it off for too long, but we need to get back to discussing the absolute dominance of Scottie Scheffler. And I think it was Kyle Porter who tweeted it out there, so apologies if it wasn't. But Kyle pointed out on Twitter after Scottie won that Ricky Fowler, in his career, and it's been a good career, he's had a fine career. I mean, not like a Hall of Fame career, but he's been a really good PGA Tour player. Six wins, including a player's. Scottie's basically, in the last 6 months, had his career actually better than his career. Because in the last 6 months, Scottie has won six times, including a player's and a major. So he's got that major championship over the last 6 months versus Ricky Fowler. It's just dumbfounding what he's doing on the PGA Tour right now.
And six of the seven biggest purses of the golf season,
yep.
I believe he's won four signature events, the players and
yep.
the Masters.
That's correct.
So, pretty good payday. Is there anybody living a better life right now than Ted Scott, his caddy?
Oh, Ted Scott. I think Ted Scott would be top 30 right now on the PGA Tour in terms of earnings, if you factor in all the different bonuses and whatnot caddies get.
Currently,
for wins.
He would be ranked 46th.
Okay, top 50. I apologize.
Among 232 players who have won prize money.
Mm-hmm.
For not hitting a golf shot,
nope.
He would rank 46th. Among PGA Tour players in earnings. That is ahead of Jordan Spieth. Ted Scott, this golf season, has made more money than Jordan Spieth. Your boy, Gabe Neitzel.
Okay, I mean, have we factored in? Because Ted Scott, I don't remember the amount of money, but Ted has to give Scotty X amount of dollars every time Scotty holds off from off the green. They got a little side bet going on, so I don't know if we factor that in, because there have been a lot of holdouts this year too, Stephen. I don't know if he's ahead of Scott. I mean, that is actually a conversation that is worth having here at some point about Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and just how different the American President's Cup team is going to end up looking like this fall. But Scotty's still on top of that list right now as he just continues to blow through everybody. It's just, it's so hard to continue to talk about it and come up with new things to say about it because that's how dominant he's been.
Yeah, and it's not fair to mention him in the same breath as Tiger. Like, he's still not on that level, anywhere close to that level, but this is the fastest that anybody has won six events since Arnold Palmer in 1962. Mm-hmm. That is notable.
Yeah.
And, yes, Tiger has won upwards of nine, I believe.
Nine
events
is his most, yes.
In a single season? That's not outside the realm of possibility right now for what Scottie Scheffler is doing. We thought he would regress after having a kid. His son, Bennett, has been born for 6 weeks. He's already seen Dad win twice.
Well, so here's the one thing. Is it unfair to be critical if he doesn't win another major this year? Because clearly I think he's going to win more in his career. And winning two majors, I believe the last time it happened was a decade ago when Rory went back-to-back and he won the British Open and the PGA in 2014, I believe. So it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Winning multiple, and excuse me, Brooks Koepka has won two majors since then in the same season. But it doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
But that's how dominant he's been, is we have these questions, we have these unfair expectations of you.
And if it wasn't for what happened on the Friday morning of the PGA Championship, he might have already had to. And the Open's going to be really hard for Scottie to win, just because the Open, I feel like, is always the biggest wild card of the golf season, just because of the conditions and it's just a different type of golf and not the best, you know, for Americans, usually historically outside of Tiger Woods, maybe a Zach Johnson here. Tom Watson, sure. But for the most part, that's probably the one I would see Scottie being the least competitive in of the four majors. Then again, it's hard to bet against this guy right now. He's unbelievable.
Well, because his game literally travels anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, he drives it long and straight. Oh, he's the best iron player of this generation. Like, that turns out that travels everywhere.
Yeah.
That's not like a just horse for course. Like, that goes everywhere. And really, I mean, the worst major performance he had this year was at Pinehurst, and he talked a little bit about how uncomfortable he was on some of those tee boxes just because you weren't sure what you were going to get if you hit it off the fairway. Like, you might be fine, you might not be, and that made him uncomfortable to the point where he did not play his best golf.
Which is ironic, because it felt like Pinehurst set up for better for him than
anybody else
and any other course that he's played this year, because we saw the two guys contending at the end were the arguably the two longest hitters in professional golf right now. Rory and Bryson.
Yeah, longest and straightest.
So it would have felt like this was one that set up well for Scotty with how good his hands are, too, and how good of a putter he has become since the putter change. But I think it's important to note, like, that scene on Sunday on the green with the protests happening around him and, like, his wherewithal is still to just be able to separate the two. I mean, both him and Tom Kim, I thought, handled that situation really well. And for Scotty to just grind out Tom Kim in a playoff, a pretty uncompetitive playoff hole, I have to say.
Well, because, I mean, Tom tried to rip a wedge and didn't get it there, plunked in the bunker, and that was it. But still, like, for Tom Kim to make that putt,
yeah,
after everything, which is going to be one of the funniest things I see, is he's trying to putt, and there's like a yellow paint blob over here and a red paint blob over there. Like, it's just,
yeah, if we see that picture in 20 years, it's going to be a hard one to explain to people about what happened.
Well, there were these protesters. I'm not really sure what they were protesting, so clearly the protest wasn't a very good one, because I still don't know right now what exactly they were protesting against, but they ran out there and they had, I don't even know what to call what they had.
It was like a powder of some sort.
Yeah.
And this is typical in sports. When protests or streakers happen, it's usually directors inside trucks do their best to not show them. Announcers do their best not to acknowledge them, because that brings more attention to them, which is why people protest, right?
Yeah.
So that's just
But you couldn't also avoid it. Like, when you see this in baseball or in football, like, they'll cut to the sideline, right? Like,
yep,
you can see players' reactions, you know, on a football sideline as these people are running around. But, I mean, I don't know if we've seen anything like this since the, you know, it's happened a couple of times at the British Open. I think the most famous one was after John Daly won his.
Oh, one of the most iconic golf photos of all time. The 19th hole.
You see the guy running away as Daly's embracing his, at the time, wife, and they're like kissing on the green, because he was just an unbelievable story. Once again, coming out of nowhere, winning the British Open, his second major championship, and in the background, a guy just with 19th hole painted on his back.
It looks fake. It's incredible that was real life.
But yeah, so, I mean, that one's a little easier to explain than this, but like, I don't think they were ready for it. Like,
no.
CBS just didn't know what to do, and it wasn't just because it was like, okay, if it's just one person, okay, that's easy to ignore.
Yeah, I don't even have confirmation a few days later if it was.
I think it was six.
Four, five, six?
I think it was six.
Yeah. And the throwing of the powder on the green, you know, defacing a green is, as a golf fan, that just hurts my soul.
Well, then they had to recut it and move the pin location because of the area that it was in. They determined it was too much damage, so they had to quickly move the whole location.
They're trying to wipe the powder away, but it wasn't going away. It was frustrating.
It was pure chaos.
Yeah. Great live television. Remember, I was purely entertained in the moment.
Yeah.
Just the look on Scotty and Tom Kim's faces. I mean, Scotty just can't get away from the drama. You know, Twitter and was on fire with more Scotty versus cops memes. It was a great place to live as a entertainment aspect. But credit Scotty and Tom. I mean, Tom to make that putt.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
through the powder to send it to a playoff.
It's not like it was just this little four-footer that he had to, you know, for a professional kind of brush in. Like, it was a putt of significant length that he had to pour in to get into a playoff. Really, really cool moment. What's the most distracted you've ever been? Or that you can recall on a putting green? On a golf course?
There are two that come to mind involving animals for me on a putting green. One was in Florida, where I was putting, looking toward what was a pond or lake, body of water, where there was an alligator.
Okay.
And it was sitting on, like, just off the green. And you talk about having the yips with a putter. You don't want to go long, because that means you have to approach.
Oh, yeah. The gator.
And I'm also not one who's going to just, like, wave my putter towards a gator and hope that they run into the water.
Yeah.
You know, I see it going the opposite way. So that was one. And the other one was, if you remember a few years ago on this very program, Gabe, I talked about an incident with a goose.
Look, geese are terrifying.
Yeah.
I know this as somebody who grew up, in Horicon, where I believe 13 of the 18 holes are touching the marsh. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, one of them chased me and I tripped into the pond. and that was still hurts me and my dignity to this very day. But I've had a goose actually take a dump in my line.
Like you saw it
happen? On a putting green. Walked right in front of me and just like sprayed out almost a powdery like substance, Gabe.
I mean, I've been on the golf course before, again, growing up playing golf on a course, you know, where you kind of move your ball just to get it out of the line of the, you know,
well,
you
kind of
give yourself, you kind
of
give yourself.
Playing with my friends, played as Elias Gilmore, you know, it was a.
You know, you give yourself TIO in that situation because it's temporary, but it's an immovable object.
Yeah, well, I wasn't touching it with my putter, so I just played a little more break. You know, I had to dye it in instead of playing firm. But those are my two on the putting green situations.
Well, so the only one I could think of, and this was, I was playing up at Whistling Straits. I've done this the last couple of falls with my buddy. They do these two-man best ball tournaments up there. At the beginning of the year, the end of the year, they call it the Kohler Challenge. And we're playing the Straits course. And we are on number six. You know, short par four has the funky green. Really, it's two separate greens, and you know, with a bunker kind of in the middle of it. Goblins something is what they call it.
Which
is Gulch, maybe. So the pin is on the right side. I had a good iron tee shot because I didn't want to blow it up there because everything falls off to the right. Wedge in my hand, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but there's a shooting range. Very close.
To number five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get to the top of my swing with a wedge, and it sounded like this shotgun went off 10 feet behind me. Just, it sounded like, I don't know how I honestly hit the ball, because it just, like, you jump. Like, it's just the normal reaction you hear when you're not expecting to
hear
shotgun.
A gun? Yeah, in your backswing? Yeah, I would jump, too.
Yeah, you're coming down. So, needless to say, I bladed it, into the back bunker. Not a great place to be, especially when your partner's out of the hole and you're trying to grind away and win the thing. But it was, that was the most distracted I think I've been when you hear a shotgun go off in your backswing.
Yeah, well. That doesn't happen every day.
That doesn't happen a lot of different places.
Tough to prepare mentally for those.
That is a very tough one. I do want to shout out our friends at The Bog. GolfTheBog.com is the website to check out to book your next round of golf. If you haven't been out to The Bog, beautiful, beautiful golf course, again, on a bog. But a lot of great natural holes out there, designed by Arnold Palmer. We love it. We're out there for the ESPN Milwaukee Open. We're out there for the 100 holes, as they do a lot of things with the Mac Fund as well. GolfTheBog.com. Coming up next, we are going to take a closer look at the 2025 U.S. Women's Open as USGA Championships Director Allison Burns joins On the Tee next. Excited to talk to our next guest because yesterday she was out at Erin Hills. You know how much we love Erin Hills here on the tee. And Erin Hills, top 10 golf course, public golf course in the United States. Book your tee time today, erinhills.com. As we welcome in USGA Championships Director Allison Burns onto On the Tee. Allison, thank you so much for the time. You were out at Erin Hills yesterday. How was it? I'm jealous because it's one of my favorite places here in Wisconsin.
Thanks for having me, and it was a beautiful day at Erin Hills, and luckily I'm still here today, and it's just as great as it was yesterday, but it was amazing to have just a little media day out here at Erin Hills, just getting some excitement generated for the U.S. Women's Open that's going to be hosted here just in late May of 2025, so we just finished a record-breaking U.S. Women's Open in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a few short weeks ago, and we've turned all of our attention to Erin Hills, and we're excited for the best players in the world to be in our backyard pretty soon.
I hope everybody heard you say record-breaking out there at Lancaster, because, you know, I mean, it feels like you're challenging us here in the state of Wisconsin, and I feel we need to, you know, step up and meet that challenge, Allison.
So exactly. Let's keep breaking records.
So you're out at Erin Hills. Did you play yesterday or today?
I did not play, unfortunately, but I have played it before.
Okay.
So I did live here in 2016 before the 17 U.S. Open. So thankfully, I have gotten to play Erin Hills, and it's a tough test for me, and it looks like it was yesterday for the folks that did get to get out there.
USGA Championships Director Allison Burns joining us here on the tee. And the USGA keeps coming back to Erin Hills, whether it's for the Mid-Am, or you mentioned the men's U.S. Open back in 2017, having, you know, a public links championship, having the U.S. Amateur out there a number of years ago as well. What is it about Erin Hills that the USGA sees and likes that they continue to come back?
I think first and foremost, Erin Hills is just a fantastic partner to the USGA, as you just mentioned, all of the championships that we've hosted here in the past. They make it easy for our team and our staff and players, volunteers, fans. All people can do is rave about the experience that they have at Erin Hills. And, you know, it's the same experience that they're giving to just the general people that come to play Erin Hills each and every day. When they're on this property, you feel like home. They welcome you from the moment you get here. And that's the type of experience the USGA has had partnering with Erin Hills. And it just sets it up to be the perfect spot to host the U.S. Women's Open for the first time.
I know that the USGA for some of the championships has always experimented with moving tees around, you know, whether that's moving it up on a short par four to make it a drivable par four. We saw that in both the men's and women's U.S. Opens this year. Are there any changes or really the versatility of the tee boxes that you're going to be looking at for 2025?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely able to make a lot of adjustments here, and our course setup director, Shannon Rouliard, is actually coming out in the next week to walk the course and really get her eyes on this property after hosting such a successful Open in 24. And I know she'll have a lot of ideas on course setup specifically and what she might do that is different from what we all saw in 2017 or from the Mid-Am just shortly ago.
So with fans who went out, as we talk with USGA Championships Director Allison Burns here on the tee, for fans who went out to the Men's U.S. Open in 2017 and want to go back out now here in 2025, which I can't believe that those things are going to end up being 8 years apart. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But what are some of the similarities? What are some of the differences that fans may notice when they're out there?
Yeah, first and foremost, they're both U.S. Opens. They are both major championships, whether it's the men or the women, and it's the number one championship that all of these players are wanting to compete in and win eventually. For the Women's Open, this is the highest purse in women's golf. It's truly a once-in-a-lifetime event for fans to come and attend, but also for players to play in for some of the players. And it's open to anyone. Anyone can qualify and enter into either of these championships, which is really fundamental to what it means to win a U.S. Open. And then from a fan experience standpoint, we have similar activations. We have grandstands, just like we did at the Men's Open. We have rope lines where you're able to get as close as possible to the action. One thing that I will mention about the Women's Open is it's so family friendly. So is the U.S. Open, but we really do cater to the families. Junior 17 and under do receive complimentary admission into the championship, and we just make it an exciting place to be for the day.
Well, if people want to attend, again, less than a year from now, the U.S. Women's Open happening at Erin Hills next year, tickets, are they available? How can people start signing up so they can get there to be on the grounds in 2025?
Yes, tickets are available now. So please go on uswomensopen.com and navigate to the ticket tab. We have a lot of different weekly package options, whether that is to be in an upgraded tinted facility such as our trophy club for $300 for the week, or a general grounds ticket starts at $150. So very affordable. We also have corporate hospitality options still available, and then our volunteer program is going to launch in about a month. So if anyone's interested in working the championship and being a part of the action for multiple days, I encourage them to sign up to volunteer as well.
I got to imagine you have a lot of people that have signed up for these events, whether it's the men's or women's U.S. Open, to be volunteers.
We do, and we have some consistent volunteers year after year, which is so nice to run into them every year. Honestly, they are supportive of the championships, and they love traveling and giving their time. But I really do think here at Erin Hills, state of Wisconsin, they will also come back out just like they did in 2017, as well as during the Mid-Am, to just help support the championship. I mean, they are the backbone to this whole operation. They put in about 40,000 hours of work to get the championship done, and they dedicate four shifts of their time. So we can't do this without the volunteer support in the community.
USGA Championships Director Allison Burns joins us here on the tee. Now, I know it may have been too long, but I still have to ask because, again, we here on the tee love Erin Hills. We love going out there. We're out there at least once a year and get to talk about the beautiful golf course out there in Erin. Do you have a favorite hole that you remember from when you played?
Mm-hmm. I do love 9. I love the par 3 9. I just think it's a fun hole. 14, 15. The problem is there's too many. but I guess I'll need to play it again, and I'll narrow it down for you next time.
Yeah, okay. All right. As long as you make the promise to make sure you play it again, that's the important part to me, Allison. Thank you so much for the time. I hope you have enjoyed your time here in Wisconsin. Can't wait to see you out there in 2025.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you soon.
USGA Championships Director Allison Burns joining us here on the tee. Special thanks to her. Of course, we're going to be talking plenty about that as we get closer and closer to the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills next year. So many things to talk about. We'll get all into it next week right here on the tee.